you have your Bibles today, turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 28. The book of Acts, chapter 28. And I do hope you have your word today. Amen. If you have the word of God with you today, say amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Beginning with verse 1. Hallelujah. After we were brought safely through, we then learned that the island was called Malta. The native people showed us unusual kindness for their. They kindled a fire and they welcomed us all because it had begun to rain and was cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and put them on the fire, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened on his hand. When the native people saw the creature hanging from his hand, they said to one another, "No doubt this man is a murderer. Though he has escaped from the sea, justice has not allowed him to live." He, however, shook off the creature into the fire and suffered no harm. They were waiting for him to swell up or suddenly fall down dead. But when they had waited a long time and saw no misfortune come to him, they changed their minds. And they said that he was a god. In verse 7, now in the neighborhood of that place were lands belonging to the chief man of the island named Publius, who received us and entertained us hospitably for 3 days. It happened that the father of Publius lay sick with fever and dysentery, and Paul visited him and prayed, and putting his hands on him, healed him. And when this had taken place, the rest of the people on the island who had diseases also came and were cured. And they also honored us greatly, and we were about to sail. They put on board whatever we needed. The name of the message this morning is Shake It Off. Praise God. Let's pray. We come before you, God. We look to you now. We look to your word. We put our faith in you. I pray that every heart be open now to receive fully what is in your word. God, I thank you for your Holy Spirit. I thank you for power. Quicken me, oh God. Lord, I come against anything that would try to be a hindrance to those here in your sanctuary and to those online. May nothing get in the way of your word. There will be freedom in your house. We give you the glory and the honor. In your name we pray. Amen. Praise God. The Apostle Paul, he's on his way to Rome to be tried. At this point in his life, it's difficult. It's challenging. He's been at sea for 2 weeks in chains as a prisoner. They were tossed to and fro by winds and storms. They had traveled adrift, not really knowing where they were going, for over 400 miles. I don't know if you've ever been on a boat, but for me, after about 30 minutes, my stomach starts talking back to me. I can't imagine being adrift, tossed around by a storm for 2 weeks in the dark with chains on, a prisoner. But despite it all, the Apostle Paul stood there full of faith, courageous, bold, strong in Christ Jesus. He even took leadership at a certain point. Through the course of the 2 weeks, he comes up on deck. He tells everybody it's time to eat because through the 2 weeks, many, of course, had lost their appetite. He breaks bread, the scripture tells us. He gives God thanks in the mix of the storm. Standing there, trusting and believing God that 276 people that were on that boat were going to make it to shore. And they do. They're shipwrecked, but they make it to shore safely. A demonstration of God's grace. A demonstration of one man's faith to believe that all 276 were going to make it to shore. They're shipwrecked now. They swim ashore. They're soaking wet. Everybody comes and they land and they are here at this island of Malta. And the native people come out, and scripture tells us that they were unusually kind. They weren't Roman. They didn't speak Greek. They didn't speak Latin. They had their own little native language. But once again, God demonstrates his grace that when they land on shore, it wasn't a hostile group of people. They were embraced. Could you imagine that? 276 people, soldiers, sailors, prisoners, the Apostle Paul. An unusual kindness is demonstrated as these native people begin to build them a fire on the shore. And you got to picture this, 276 people soaking wet. And scripture tells us that it's still raining and it's cold. It's still really the aftermath of the Northeaster, that it's still kind of falling upon them at this moment. And as they're building up this fire, I don't really know who's all lending a hand or helping out, but the Apostle Paul's helping. The Apostle Paul is serving. Scripture tells us that he's picked up a bundle of sticks and he's helping build this fire. It's amazing. Here is the Apostle Paul, this wonderful, mighty man of God who has just gone through so much. I mean, it's very uncomfortable circumstances, but yet continues to serve. It's very difficult. It's very dark. There's a lot of pain, a lot of hardship here just over the last couple of weeks for him, but yet he chooses to serve in this moment. But the one person who decides to serve is the one who gets bit by a snake. The one person who, despite the uncomfortable circumstances, despite the very, very, very dismal setting, gets bit by the snake. And scholars have studied and I've come to understand that in my studies that really what had happened here is as they're building up this fire here with, and Apostle Paul has probably in the dark just picked up a bunch of dry sticks and branches and he's bringing it to the fire and because of the heat, this venomous snake that was probably just laying dormant in this dry thing of woods here suddenly is aroused as the Apostle Paul brings it to the fire. And as he goes to bring these sticks into the fire, the snake jumps and clamps onto his hand. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't do snakes. Not at all. We live in a small suburb, about an hour from here. And from time to time out in the yard when I'm cleaning up, I'll run into one of those black gardener snakes. They're not even that big. They're really only about that big. But the moment I see it, my yard work is done. I'll turn right around, go into the house. I lock the doors. And I close the windows. I'll sit down and have a cup of coffee. I don't do snakes. My wife, on the other hand, finds these little critters quite fascinating. And she'll walk right up on it and walk alongside of it as it's heading out into a thicker part of the bushes. And I'm screaming at her from a distance through the window. Get back into the house. That's the devil himself. I don't know how to stay calm when I see a snake, but there's a lesson to be learned in the moment of very difficult circumstances when the snake jumps out and bites Paul in the hand. And I began to ask myself something that any human would probably ask in this moment. Why? Why did Paul get bit? I mean, he's the man of God. I mean, he's the one that, because of him, they all made it to shore. 276 people all around, native people from Malta all around. They're building up this fire, and of all people, it's Paul that gets bit. You ever ask that question? Why do bad things happen to us Christian folk? Why do bad things have to happen to the good people? Why did the Apostle Paul have to get bit? Maybe you ask yourself, why do I always get bit? I'm just the one trying to go to church. I'm trying to get my worship on. Why does snake got to jump up and bite me? I was the one serving God's people. But I looked over in 1 Peter chapter 4. You can turn there if you want, or you can listen. In verse 12, scripture says this, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you." Which means when the snake jumps up and bites you, don't be surprised. When you're in the middle of service and the enemy, the devil, tries to sabotage your service and commitment to God, don't be surprised by the test. And although it seems like everybody else around you is doing just fine, but suddenly you're the one that gets bit with sickness or disease or pain, or you're the one that gets bit with rejection or an arousal of bitterness and anger because of something that has happened with you. You just got jumped up and you were bit in the hand at your job by your boss. Don't be surprised. When it seems like your coworkers are all against you, it seems like you're being attacked for your faith in Jesus Christ, seems like something else is just going wrong. Anybody ever feel like that? Like just week after week, I just need a good week without no snakes. Feel like something always jumping up and biting me in the hand every week. Some of you come in here on a Sunday, you get your worship on, you're already anticipating that you might get bit Monday. We talk like that. I've sat in a service with my wife, like, oh, honey, it's just the presence of God. But you know how Monday goes, man. It just, something just gonna jump up and just bite me again. I know it. I love my wife. She'll be like, stop being so negative. But we're wired like that because maybe we've been attacked quite often or bit quite often, or maybe we've gone through so much and so much we've had to endure, so much we've had to face. But scripture says it here. He said, listen, don't be surprised at the fiery trial. There's going to be trials, folks. There are going to be times where as you are serving, as you are walking and living your life committed to Jesus Christ, the enemy is going to try to sabotage your service. Don't be surprised by the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you as though something strange were happening to you. Verse 13, this is the difficult one right here. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's suffering. Which means don't get mad that you just got bit. Rejoice in knowing, oh, God's about to do something. Rejoice in knowing that I am a partaker with Christ's suffering, which means everything that I must endure as a believer in Christ Jesus is a reflection of who I am in him. My suffering only looks more and more like Jesus. So you rejoice in us so far as you share Christ's suffering, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. Praise God. You see, there's an end result to the suffering that you and I face. It's God's glory revealed in heaven and on earth as God takes you and I from glory to glory. It doesn't end in suffering. Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. I know how my ending is, so I don't find myself in a rut because of the suffering that I face presently, because my ending is a victory in Christ Jesus. That's how you rejoice. That's how you stay calm. That's why Paul gets bit and nobody else. Because God will sometimes take our uncomfortable settings and establish it as the platform that you and I have to stand on to represent Jesus Christ. Ooh. God will establish a setting in your circumstances. He will establish a platform in your suffering so that his glory is revealed through your testimony and your commitment to Christ to rejoice no matter what you're going through. That's why Paul gets bit. Not the sailor, not the centurion, not the natives. Oh, those poor natives, they have no clue what's going on here. But God is setting the stage through it all. This is why you can't find it. When you go out of these doors and this week something really strange happens to you that seems to throw you off, a snake bite on your hand, it's not strange. I'm not surprised. God, you keep me. Your glory is going to be revealed. You're going to use my life. I'm here to serve you. I'm here to represent you. And so in this moment, Scripture gives us an understanding that for a moment, the snake is dangling. It's hanging on Paul's hand. And I'd like to think that although he was bit, he still finished what he needed to do and dropped the sticks into the fire. And I see him stepping back and there's this venomous snake dangling from his hand. And we know this, that it was hanging there for a moment because the native people around saw it. And so the native people go, "Woo, woo." There's a snake dangling on his hand right now. It's hanging. Ooh, he's a murderer. He's a murderer. Justice has caught up with him. He's gonna die now. I thought about this moment, right? They've decided that justice is catching up with Paul, God's justice. They had a sense of some higher being, but they didn't know the God that Paul served, the God that keeps us, preserves us, the God that is sovereign and faithful, the God that despite our suffering, he's going to get the glory out of this. They had some type of understanding that maybe there is this higher being where justice is served, and rightfully so, but they didn't understand the power of grace and the power of God's healing touch. And so at this point, all eyes are on Paul. You see what I'm saying? So you can't be surprised when you get snake bites, because what happens now is the spotlight is on you and I, and we now have the opportunity to demonstrate the grace of God. So you gotta stay calm. So you gotta stay calm. You have to stay calm when the snake is hanging on you. But you can't just leave it there. I ain't gonna leave no snake hanging on my hand, that's for sure. So Paul, at this point, goes back to the fire, shake it off. And I believe he goes back to serving. While the native people are standing around saying, "Oh, he's gonna die. He's gonna die." While Paul is still serving. Realistically, the initial bite probably did hurt when the fangs clamped down on his hand. Sometimes the bite is going to hurt, but God is going to keep the venom from getting into your system. So in the natural, Paul is supposed to die right now. As he's still serving, he shook it off in the fire. And everybody else is still watching, waiting for something to happen. It's interesting. They knew it was a venomous snake. They knew there was poison. Yet nobody helped. Everybody just standing there watching, waiting for him to die. Because they concluded that this is bad luck on him and justice is being served. They concluded that because you've been bitten by a snake, that means you're a bad person. Or maybe you have no purpose. Or maybe you have no destiny. Because week after week, I always hear about the stuff that keeps happening in your life. Your car keeps breaking down. You keep getting sick. You can't get a hold of your finances. It seems like snake bite after snake bite after snake bite. Nobody wants to help you. They're just waiting and watching and waiting for you to die. It seems like you're all alone. It seems like nobody wants to stand with you. Stay calm. Stay calm. His hand didn't swell up. His arm didn't swell up. No venom. No venom in his bloodstream. Why? Because of the power of Jesus Christ that Paul had, that you have. Everybody else can stand around and watch with curiosity and fear. But God has not given you and I the spirit of fear. We've been given power to shake it off. This is important. You have been given power to shake off those things that continue to bite you. You have been given love. Here's what I mean when I say love. Because see, God has not given you the spirit of fear when the snake bites you. You shake it off. I'm going to stand. There's no spirit of fear in me. I've been given power to be able to withstand the attack of the enemy. I've been given power to believe and trust God that I'm going to get through this. I've been given power to shake it off and know that no venom is going to come through me. I've been given God's love, which means even all of those folks that are standing around waiting for me to die, God has still called me to love him and love people. I can't get nasty out of my mouth because everybody is waiting for me to die and nobody wanted to help me. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and of love, which means because God, in my suffering, and with my snake bite, he has set the stage for something supernatural to happen on the island. And so I've got to be a testimony of his love. I've got to love those that didn't help me when I needed help. And a sound mind, the sound mind is understanding that I gotta stay calm. I am a free man because of Jesus Christ. And he who the Son sets free is free indeed. It is without question. It is undeniable. It is without question that there is no venom in my system. There's no poison in my system. It is without question that when I shake it off, that thing is dead. Let me share something with you out of Psalms. Psalm chapter 21. Verse 8, you just listen to me. And the psalmist is talking about the mighty hand of God. Your hand will find out all your enemies. Your right hand will find out those who hate you. Verse 9, you will make them as a blazing oven when you appear. The Lord will swallow them up in his wrath and fire will consume them. It is very important that when we come to the place and understand that we have to shake off the attack of the enemy. We don't just shake it off anywhere. I just can't shake off depression anywhere. I can't just shake off anger and rejection anywhere. I can't just shake off bitterness anywhere. Some of you tend to shake things off, but you're shaking it off in the wrong places. And what you've done is you've created a ripple effect of other people getting angry and nasty. You shake it off in the fire. The fire represents the righteous hand of God and his plan to consume anything that comes against you and I as believers in Christ Jesus. That's what the fire represents to me. You see, anything that comes against you as a believer in Christ Jesus comes against God. And if it comes against God, it's going to burn. gonna burn. So you shake it off. And now you're standing here. Now they've, in the human sense of thinking, one moment they're waiting for you to die. The next moment they call you a god. They either hate you or love you, right? One moment people ready to condemn you. Then if you do something right, they're ready to praise you. Now in the moment of praise, you've got to point people to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Why? Because that is the completion of what God wants to do in our lives. As we rejoice in our suffering that makes us partakers with Christ, we also rejoice in knowing that God's glory is going to be revealed in heaven and on earth. So if God's glory is going to be revealed through your circumstances, through your dismal, uncomfortable circumstances, that means when the praise starts to rile up, you gotta point people to Jesus. Because our lives are fully given to him. Paul knew this. Maybe he didn't verbally express it in this moment. He had done it at another previous time where they tried to make him out to be a god. And he was like, it ain't me. I'm just a man just like you. I'm failed and flawed. And the reason why this snake can I can shake it off is because it's the power of Jesus Christ that dwells inside of me. You have the power to shake it off. You have the power to withstand the attack of the enemy. You've been called to give God the glory. When he does a healing work in your life, you've been called to give God the glory. Remember, at a certain point in Luke, in the book of Luke, in chapter 10, after the 72 disciples had come back after laying hands on the sick and casting out demons, and they were excited and they were fired up, right? And they come back and they said, whoo, I tell you, oh, God used us in a mighty way. And Jesus said, boy, I saw Satan falling like lightning from heaven. Falling like lightning from heaven. It's falling off of you. He said, I've given you the authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over every power of the enemy, and nothing shall harm you. And nothing shall harm you. And nothing shall harm you. Shake it off. That snake gonna creep up and attack. Shake it off. And nothing shall harm you. And then Jesus goes on to say in that moment, he says this, listen, don't rejoice in the fact that you've been given my power to cast out demons and lay hands on the sick and tread on serpents and scorpions, but rejoice in knowing that you're gonna be with me in heaven. Rejoice in me. Rejoice in me. It's the power that I've given you. Give God all the glory. I've given you this power. You're going to be able to shake it off no matter what you're going through. You're going to be able to shake it off. Nothing's going to hurt you, but you got to give God the glory. Give God the glory. Mark 16, I'm almost done. Say amen if you're with me. Amen. Mark 16, verse 17 and 18. And these signs will accompany those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up serpents with their hands. What a picture we get from Paul as we look at this word that Jesus gives you and I. I am assured and with confidence, knowing that Paul has this bundle of sticks and there is a serpent in his hand. They will pick up serpents with their hands. And if they drink any deadly poison, meaning this, when it bites his hand, suddenly poison has gotten into his system. You see, you and I aren't going to go out and willingly drink poison. But Jesus was trying to help us understand a picture here that would happen later on with the Apostle Paul. You're going to have this power. That in the moment when you pick up anything that's deadly, when things heat up, in the midst of your service, in the midst of your commitment to God, as you're growing in your faith, as you're having to endure dismal circumstances and troubling and trying times, and knowing that this is not a surprise, you don't have to consider this strange, but I'm gonna tell you something, this deadly poison is not going to kill you. It's not gonna destroy you. It will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick and they will recover. It is the completion. God's word, what Jesus said as he sent the disciples out just before he ascends back to heaven. This word that he gives his disciples is revealed to us in this amazing story on the island of Malta, where God sets the stage for the apostle Paul in the moment of suffering as he's bitten to shake it off, stand, and not have a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind to know that God is faithful and this is for his glory. And all of a sudden, Publius, this man, this leader on the island, brings him into his home. He's there for 3 days, and suddenly this man's father is sick. And the very word that we get from Jesus himself is revealed to us in this very act when Paul, now, with no venom in his system, Paul, the stage is set in the most difficult of times, lays hands on this man's father and prays. You and I have been called to lay hands on the sick, to pray and know that God will heal them, and know that God will heal them, and God's glory will be revealed. And when this man was healed, suddenly everybody on the island started coming to Paul. Oh, no, no, no. He's not condemned. He's not a murderer, nor is he a god. He's just flowing in the power of the Holy Spirit to lay hands on the sick and believe God for healing. And suddenly, I'm telling you, his commitment and his trust in Jesus Christ creates a ripple effect on the entire island. Folks are getting healed. That's the power of God. That's the power of God revealed. Music ministry, would you come up? You need to shake it off. Too long. We find ourselves surprised by the test and the trial. We consider it strange that nobody will help me. I'm all alone. Shake it off. I don't know what it is, but you know. You know what it is that has bit you recently. Shake it off. You've been given power and authority to tread on serpents and scorpions. Shake it off. Some of you, there are certain things in your life, it's been hanging on you way too long. Shake it off. Bitterness, shake it off. Unforgiveness, shake it off. Pride, shake it off. Fear, shake it off. You're supposed to be sleeping at night. Don't let the devil take your rest. Shake it off. I feel like I'm dying. Maybe you just feel like you're dying. I can't go on. I just feel like I'm dying inside. Shake it off. In the name of Jesus. You as believers in Christ Jesus, you're not called to live your life in fear. You've been given life. Scripture tells us death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where's your victory? Death, where's your sting? That's what Paul wrote. Where is it? Shake it off. And there's going to be victory for you today. You don't have to be afraid anymore. You don't have to live your life anticipating when the next bad thing. Bring it on. I'm fully committed to God. I'm all in. Bring it on. My life might feel shipwrecked right now, but my God's going to keep me safe. He's going to preserve me. I'm no longer under condemnation. Shake it off. No more shackles. No more chains. We sang it today. Do you know what you're singing? No more bondage. I'm free. Shake it off. Shake it off. It's the victory of the cross. It's the power of Jesus Christ. Shake it off. Would you stand up with me? What's been hanging on you too long? If something's been hanging on you too long, I want you to come up here. I want to pray with you. You get up here, you get to the altar, and let's shake it off in the fire. You've been angry too long. You've been struggling with fear too long. Maybe somebody here who's watching online, whether in North Jersey, whether in the annex, whether in the online fellowships, right now, I want to tell you, you're going to sleep good tonight, but you have to shake it off. We're going to come against anxiety and fear right now. That thing has to be shaken off right now. So whatever it is, you make your way to the front. Come on. You come forward. Some of you right now, there's doubts like, no. If you only knew, just the constant tests that I've been going through. I'm going to tell you something. Uncomfortable circumstances will always test you. But godly character will pass the test. A life surrendered to Christ Jesus will pass the test. So you come forward, it's time to shake it off. Doubt, shake it off. And praise God for this amazing story, because here's something that's amazing. God wants to heal you. So I'm calling all those that are struggling with sickness in their body. Shake it off. I want you to come forward. If you're saying, God, I need to heal, come close so we can make room. But if you're saying, God, I need a healing touch today. These migraine headaches, let's shake it off. I'm the first one up here. I struggle with migraine headaches. Sometimes it's just so overwhelming. I feel nauseous. I feel like someone's just like stabbing me in the side of my head. If anybody struggles with headaches, you know what that feeling. You just have to, you're just in the dark. You can't even move. Well, every day I'm going forward. Every time that snake tries to rise up and just bite me, shake it off. Shake it off, David Hamm. Our God heals. He's a great physician. Shake it off. Addiction. Shake it off. You have the power of Jesus Christ that dwells within you. If you believe, shake it off. You're still mad because that person dumped you and was never even kind enough to call you and bring closure the way you say you need. You want closure? Do you want closure? Shake it off. Now you worship as someone free, and I don't care if the entire time that we worship the Lord, now you just shake your hands like this, whatever it is, but you have to get down to the sub-basements of your heart where some stuff has been sitting in there, rotting out, you shake that thing off as we worship. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just lift up your hands, and you begin to pray right now, my life is in your hands, God, my life is in your hands. My life is in your hands. My life is in your hands. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, God, we come before you. And anything that is not of you, we shake it off right now. We shake it off. Our hands are raised and we shake it off. We shake it off. Anger, we shake it off. Depression, we shake it off. Bitterness, we shake it off. Addiction, we shake it off. The addiction to pornography, we shake it off right now. The feeling of rejection, we shake it off right now. Oh God. Lord, we thank you right now because you have the power to heal. You are the great physician. As we read today, Lord God, you healed Paul and you used his hands, Lord, to give you glory and heal many others. So God, we come before you and we look to you, God, to do a healing work in our bodies. So we shake it off, every sickness and disease, we shake it off. We shake it off. Cancer, we shake it off right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Headaches, we shake it off right now in the name of Jesus. Diabetes, we shake it off right now in the name of Jesus. Every health issue, every area of nerve pain, we shake it off in the name of Jesus. Back pain, we shake it off in the name of Jesus. Pain in the knees, we shake it off in the name of Jesus. We are a free people. We are a free people. God, you've called us to give you glory. You have a purpose. You have a destiny for every person that's here. That's why we're alive. That's why we're here in your house. We're not dead yet. There might be a lot of people watching and waiting for us to just fall over, but we're not dead. We are alive in you. We are free. We have a purpose to glorify you. We have a purpose, Lord God, to walk in your freedom. We have a purpose, Lord God, to lay hands on the sick and to trust you for healing. Thank you, Jesus. We give you glory. We shake it all off. We shake it all off. Every bite, every snake bite, we shake it off now in the name of Jesus. We shake it off in the fire. We shake it off in the fire. There's freedom now. There's freedom. There's freedom. There's freedom in you. There's freedom. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I just want to worship again. Just one more song before we go, before the curtain comes down. You're free. You're free. We're gonna worship the Lord. Listen, I have to put this in practice every day, every week, because there's always something else that comes up. You know, I tell you, even just getting here over the last 2 weeks, the enemy has tried to go after my family. It's like I was talking to Pastor Patrick about this, and Pastor Patrick knows he's endured some things over the last couple of weeks, and the enemy would try to rob you of your joy by just jumping up and trying to just bite you in just different places and different areas of your life, and those who are closest to you, and sickness and disease and just complications and struggles. And I mean, it's constant. I'm just trying to serve the Lord. I'm just trying to commit my life to you. I'm just trying to bring some heat for other people. And suddenly I'm the one bit, but God is teaching me, even just in this word, shake it off, David Ham, and you keep going. The devil is not going to take my joy. He can't have your family. He cannot. So you hear something else that's going on with your child or your cousin, or you hear bad news this week, shake it off in the fire in the name of Jesus. Devil, you can't have my family. You get that sense of rejection, or you're struggling with guilt again from past things that you've done in the past. You shake off guilt. You keep going forward. You keep going forward. Hallelujah. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will be glad.